David Hochberg. Interest rates are still low. You'll hear that from David. And lots of activity in the housing market. It feels like we're setting all kinds of records for home prices. And homes moving pretty quickly. In a lot of cases, I just heard from a friend in Orland Park. She told me that their next door neighbor sold and had four offers on their home and sold it much faster than they thought. And they wanted to downsize and they suddenly needed a place to live. It's just how it's going out there. David, you're hearing these stories too.
Living it every day, Anna. Every single day. It's a push to get into the homes before the next person makes the bid. We just had a young man today buying his first home. He put in, and I'd never seen this before. I've been doing this 20-plus years. He's buying the home, and there's a clause in the contract that says if he buys it for $200,000 in this example, he's still going to buy it even if it appraises for $190,000. So In the past, you used to have an out. You know, if it doesn't appraise, you got an escape clause there. Now they're coming in saying,
out the window.
We're welding that sucker shut. So sellers want to get out, and they don't want any type of risk or any type of wiggle room for the buyer to get out of that contract.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's interesting because then you've also talked about if it doesn't assess the right number, can you still get a mortgage? And I know you help folks with that as well.
Sure.
You do that too, right?
Yeah, you just have to bring in a larger down payment. The financing that our listeners need to understand is, yes, you can buy a $200,000 home that appraises for $200,000 for $210,000, okay? Or you could buy a $190,000 home like this young man who's buying his first home. His mom listens to us on Saturdays and recommended that he call us, you know, for some help with the financing. If he goes in, he bought it for $200,000. If it appraises for $190,000, the financing is based upon the purchase price, which here is $200,000, or the appraised value, which we're going to assume is $190,000, whichever is less. So the financing will be based off of $190,000. This young man, instead of putting 20% down, is now going to have to take $10,000 of the 40 G's he was going to put down to make up in the shortage. So now he's going to put $30,000 down and not have 20% down. He'll have 80-some percent down. So you can still buy a home that doesn't appraise out. You just have to make up the difference of the purchase price or appraised value, whichever is less.
Yeah, ways to get it done. I said assessed. I meant appraised, of course. Well, just the trends in general. It feels as if the millennials are entering their home buying years. That's one of the trends. Of course, you look at interest rates still super low, not as low as they were.
Sure.
And then you have people who are living, working, and even vacationing from home. And you're spending a lot of time there, and you're starting to rethink the space and the needs that you have. I mean, are there anything else you would add to that? I mean, who's buying right now? Why is it so crazy hot still?
Well, read an article this weekend that the millennials are finally realizing, instead of having the experiences that they always wanted to have, what this pandemic taught them was that the experience, instead of renting and bouncing around the city left and right, the experience is you could take your finances and buy a home. Okay, and they're finally starting to realize that there's a huge push of millennials that used to rent are now getting into that first-time homebuyer game, which is now pushing the lower-end market, because what are first-time homebuyers typically getting into? The lower-end market, right? The 150 to 200, the 150 to 175. And our listeners down in southern Illinois go, that's a lot of money. What the hell are you talking about? That's lower-end market, right? Yeah, but up here in the Chicagoland area, 150 to 2 is your entry-level home in our market, right? Down southern Illinois, a $200,000 home probably gets you a couple acres and a pole barn, right? But up here, That's just an entry-level market. And what we're seeing is a lot of 20-year-olds, our parents listen to you on the radio. You know, they said, we got to call you. What about all these questions? And it's the same question. So that's the biggest change that we're seeing, is the first-time homebuyers are getting younger and younger and younger than we've seen in years.
What's the question they ask? You said same questions.
Sure. What are the closing costs? How much do I need for a down payment? What is PMI? You know, before it was PMI is horrible. Now, what does it mean? Okay, so it's interesting that the millennials are asking more questions. They've done a lot of research. A lot of it's online, obviously. So I address it like, okay, here, you're going to take everything that I tell you and you're going to Google it. Okay, which is 100% right. Or you're going to talk to your three friends who know nothing about real estate, that know more about mortgages than me, which is fine. I understand that. But here's the facts, right? The facts are, in this market, for every $100,000 that you borrow, it's going to be about $450 a month in financing. Here are the facts. You need to have a down payment. Here are the facts. Credit is the top three things of importance. It's credit, 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 down payment type of property. Okay, because the credit is driving everything. And the best thing is that if we could get to them early, because the biggest challenge we have is the depth of their credit, because a lot of these millennials haven't used a credit card ever. Okay,
wow.
And the only thing that they have, it's debit cards. That's what that's what they grew up with. They don't know any different. Okay, it's this debit card. I hate debit cards. Whenever I open an account, they're like, you're going to get a debit card. I'm like, shred it. I'm like, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Because what's a debit card? It's basically your checking account on a little piece of plastic that if the money's not in your account when you go to check out, your transaction's going to get declined. So there's nothing that has to do with balancing payments or balancing credit and being a good building a good history of having credit extended to you and paying that credit off. Some of them have car loans. A lot of them have student loans, which is ridiculous. You got to call Ray Kaplan, the Kaplan Law Group, to help you with that. We've sent over hundreds of our listeners over there to help, and she's done an amazing job reworking student loans so our millennials could buy a home. Also reworking parent student loans who feel that they're trapped in their current home or trapped in a rental that want to go buy a home. Ray has done amazing work with our listeners who signed Parent Plus loans to the tune of about $200,000-$400,000. She's done an amazing job with that. So these are things,
I know she does.
She's an assassin in a good way. But these are the questions are great. Can I borrow money? Yes. Okay, well, where can I borrow money from my buddy Tom? Is your buddy Tom related to you? Well, he's my buddy. He's my best friend. I'm like, great. Is he a blood relative? And then you have to explain. You could get a gift, but it has to be from a blood relative. A lot of our millennials think that don't realize that if you have a job and you're an hourly employee, you can't count overtime until you've worked the hourly job for 2 years. A lot of the millennials, and it's not only the millennials, a lot of our listeners don't realize if you start a new job and you went self-employed, you have to have 2 years of self-employed tax returns filed in order to count that income. So these are things, and then to get back to your point about working from home, there are huge shifts going on where our listeners are working from home, okay? I took the train for the first time in about a year last week when I came downtown. There were four people on the car. Okay, I pulled into the Northbrook Metro Station to park my car. I pulled right up in front. It was empty at 9 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's coming downtown, or they're all driving because they're all freaked out. You're going to get COVID driving, you know, taking the train. And cleanest train I've ever been on, by the way.
So, see, that's nice. You got that going for you. Hey, David, pause for just a second because I do want to get to questions.
Yeah.
And I do also want to hit the topic of raising credit scores, no matter if you're looking for home or whatever, because I know these secrets. I've consulted with you privately about this. Say, hey, what do you do? Because I know there are ways to do this, whether you're high and you just want to get higher or whether you're not where you need to be and you want to get higher, because you work with folks on that too. Questions for David Hochberg, 312-981-7200. We'll circle back in just a moment. We're going to pause here on WGN. Love hearing those stories, David, by the way. I feel like you're part finance mortgage guy and then part therapist, because you just have to sit couples down, you got to talk through stuff, and you got to make it right, and they both have to be happy. And that's a tricky thing to do. That's a tricky thing to do, David.
Yeah, we've been doing it for 20 years. And the easiest part about those commercials, all I do is change the names of the people that I put on the air. I don't. It's not their, you know. It's an actual story of listeners that we helped, but I don't want to get so specific. Like, oh, that's my next door neighbor, Sam and Sally. So, these are real life experiences that we have helping listeners overcome challenges that sometimes we're successful. And sometimes I talked to a lady today, 76 years old. Doesn't make enough money. She's got a 5.625% first loan. She's got a ridiculous second loan. She got, you know, some equity in her home. She just doesn't have enough income. And I just said, you know, listen, you got to get a job or you got to get a cosigner. And most of the time we're successful, but some of the time when we're not successful, we'll at least inform them what our listeners have to do in order to get into a better position to hopefully getting to a place where we could help them down the road.
Yeah. Questions are already coming in on the text line, 312-981-7200. But I do want to ask you this. Credit scores, why are they so important? Because I know you have some ways to sort of raise them in all scenarios. But why so important? Let's start there.
Because it's the only way a creditor, in this case with a mortgage, a lender, a servicer, a lender can determine what your past history is in making a payment. So if you are a responsible person and you have credit cards, have a car loan, and you made your payments on time and you don't have any collections, then your scores will be higher. And that gives the creditor who's going to give you, or the bank, or the lending institution, is going to be more apt to give you a lower rate because you're a lower risk. If you have a couple of pockmarks, a couple of dents, a couple of dings, a couple of scratches, and your credit score is in the 600s or in the 500s, you're going to have a more challenging time to get a loan, number one, or you're going to get a horrendously higher, a much higher rate than somebody with a 740 credit score or a credit score that starts with a 7. Your credit score is the only way that a creditor can determine the risk that they're going to put out against lending you money. It's that simple.
Okay. What is the number one way, if there is one, to raise your credit?
You have, and it's very simple. Pay your credit, pay all your debt on time every month. Here's the simplest way, if our listeners have the financial wherewithal to do it. Don't wait for your credit card to come due at the end of the month to make the payment. Pay it off every single Friday. I use this, I give a perfect example. David Hochberg moved out of his home in Northbrook into his in-law's basement for 6 months because our home wasn't done. Somewhere along the line, the BMO Harris Diners Club card slipped through the five hole in October, and I missed it, okay? David Hochberg, Mr. Mortgage Genius on the radio, misses a $40 bill. So credit scores dropped from 780 down to 717 or something like that.
Jeez.
It took me 4 months with BMO. They finally took it off. I pleaded. I'm like, hey, come on. I've been with you. I got a Diners Club card. Try to find one of those. I got one of those when I came out of school in 1988. They said, for the love of God. So they finally did the right thing and took it off. My credit score's back up. But I use that technique every Friday on the way home. I called up my credit card companies, and I paid them all down to zero. And guess what? Within 4 months, my credit scores were back over 760. I got it high enough to get the rate that I needed in the loan program that I needed. I needed 760. So the easiest thing our listeners can do, pay off your credit cards every Friday if you have the financial wherewithal to do that. And only use your credit cards for the four T's: toothpaste, toilet paper, tampons, transportation. Don't go out and buy a widescreen TV. Don't go to Apt and drop a couple of G's on a TV. That's not one of the T's: toothpaste, toilet paper, tampons, transportation. Just the basics. Okay, and that's, I came up with. You won't Google that. You won't find it. That's a David Hochbergism, and it's worked for 20 years.
I had not heard it anywhere else, so I'm absolutely attributing that to you and only you, because it just sounds exactly like you, David Hochberg. It's why we love you. 815, ask David if credit karma scores are real or inflated. Karma scores.
Well, here, credit karma scores are real because they're credit karma scores. They're feel-good scores. They give you an idea. When you go to get a mortgage, the lender, that's a recreational pull, okay, when you're out recreationally tooling around. When you get a mortgage, it's an industrial pull. It's a much tougher scoring, grading scale than if you go to Credit Karma. The nice thing about Credit Karma is you could find out if you have any collections or any pockmarks there that you need to clean up. I've had listeners come to me like, yeah, I got a 700 on Credit Karma. I'm like, well, it doesn't transfer. Oh, yeah, it does. Whammo, I got a 619. So I'm not saying it happens all the time, but Credit Karma is a nice place to go just to see what creditors are saying. Their credit scores do not count when you go to get a mortgage because it's a much tougher grading scale when banks and lenders like us pull your credit to get financing.
Okay. Why? This is a great question. I've often wondered this. 224, why is the score different between the three different reporting agencies? Why are they different, David?
Yeah, it's exhausting. And I've been doing this.
And one's always super low.
Yeah.
Like 60, 70 points away.
It's so wrong in so many ways. But if, you know, for you to try to figure it out, here's what happens. Lenders take the middle credit score. So if Ann is coming in and buying a home, if she's got a 740, 740 and a 620, throw the 620 out, we're going with the 740. okay? Because your middle score is a 740. It doesn't matter. There's Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. TransUnion is a local Chicago company down here, downtown Chicago. Not that that means anything, but it's good to know. But if you're going out with your husband, and your husband's a 700, a 680, and a 650, we have to take the lower of the two credit scores, right? So your credit middle score is a 640, your husband's a 680. If we need your husband's credit, and I've seen this scenario, forget about it, right? You know, the husband's got a 680 in this scenario. So borrower one's got a 740, borrower two's got a 680, okay? We don't need borrower two's income in this transaction because borrower one is strong enough and makes enough money to pull it. I've been in situations where borrower two is like, I'm going to be on that loan, come hell or high water, if we're going to do this. I'm like, all right, well, guess what? If you go with borrower one, today's rate for this example is 3.25. If borrower two wants to come on, your rate's going to be 4.25 because the differential between the 680 and the 740 on your transaction is a full point. So it's up to you. It's just a number on a piece of paper to a lender. So that's what you got to be careful. There are three credit scores. If one borrower is on it, you take the middle score of the borrower. If there are two or three or four people on it, whatever, you take the middle score of all four borrowers, and then you choose the lowest to determine what rate you get. That's why credit scores are so important.
What else can we do to raise our credit? Let's say we're paying our bills on time, but we're just kind of stuck in that zone where it's just not moving. Can you do something else?
Yes. Number one, you could contact your current credit card companies and ask them to increase the limits that you have, your borrowing power. So if you have a limit, a credit limit of 1,000, listen, you can't fall off the floor. You might as well say, hey, can you triple it to 3,000? If they come back like, 3,000 is a little tough, you know, we could go up to 2,000. Like, done. Okay, because basically what's happening is you're gaining availability. You're gaining a couple of other notches in your pants, okay? So when you want to sit down for dessert and pop open that, you know, that pecan pie a la mode, which is delicious, by the way.
It is.
You know, you've got room there, and it's not going to impact you as much if you add a couple of bucks on your credit if you have availability. So pay your credit cards off every week. Contact your credit card companies to see if they'll increase the available credit to triple what you have and then settle for whatever they'll give you. Another thing that our listeners don't know about is you could be added as an authorized user on a credit card of somebody that trusts you. So here, you know, use you again, Anna. Anna's credit challenged in this example. Anna needs a little shot of spinach like Popeye to get your credit scores up, right? Popeye the Sailor Man. So you've got a friend, a girlfriend, a cousin, an aunt, whatever, that's got stellar credit, okay? They could add Anna, in this example, to their credit card or credit cards. You get the immediate sidecar boost of their impeccable credit, and your credit scores go up. That person that's doing you the solid and putting you on as an authorized user doesn't have to tell you what cards they are, doesn't have to give you a credit card. You're just there for the ride. And all of a sudden, whoop, your credit scores go up. You get to a good point. You get the loan you need. You get your credit score to where you're at. You get to build a good foundation. They call up the credit card companies. Hey, this is Mrs. Smith. I was helping my friend out, Anna. I want to drop Anna as an authorized user. Boom.
That helps.
Oh. Forget about it. Yeah, that's
all right.
Huge.
Except I want to get a couple more in if we can with limited time. 7-3, is it better to close accounts once paid or leave them open? I've often wondered.
Don't ever close an account. Never, ever close an account. When you pay off a credit card, keep the account open. Don't ever close it, especially if you're trying to enhance your credit. If you're coming from the fives and you're working your way up and you pay off a credit card, do not close that down. I don't care if it costs you $35 a year in an annual fee or $75 or $100. I'm getting a little excited here because a lot of folks, a lot of our listeners, pay off a credit card, then shut the credit card down. Then boom, you just lost everything that you just gained by paying off that credit card. You want to keep the credit card open. And then here, another thing is this. If you want to have a party in your mailbox, you will know your credit's back on the grid when your mailbox starts exploding with credit card offers. That's when, after about 3 to 4 months, you use my techniques that I just gave you for free. Okay? Again, I got nothing involved. I'm just trying to help listeners out. You use this, you will know that your credit's back when your mailbox is having a mailer party with credit card offers, because now you're back on the grid and they want to get you on their program and have and start offering your credit. What you do is you take that, you take it to the shredder, or you take a lighter to it and you burn it. You don't open anything, and you just continue to build what you have by paying it off every week, mm-hmm. calling up every 6 months to see if they'll increase the limits, paying off your, if you have any collections, pay off your collection. Here's another tip. If you have a collection, call up the collection and see if you can pay it, and they'll delete it. You probably have to pay the full boat of the collection, but pay and delete, pay and delete, pay and delete. It's as if that credit, as it's as if that collection was never there in the first place. So I've seen instances where our borrowers have paid and got paid and delete letters from creditors, and their credit score shot up over 100 points. True story. It's
huge.
Unbelievable.
Huge, David.
Huge.
I love it.
Yes.
I hope you'll excuse this. I did actually close my Macy's account when they bought Fields. I was mad at them, but I had to close
because
that was principal. But other than that, I hear you. These are great tools, and we always love hearing from you on your show. Is there a one stop shopping place that we can go to kind of find out about this kind of stuff too?
Yeah, you just go to WGNDavid.com. There's
you got a lot of stuff there.
That's
right?
The show's website. All the experts are there. You could send. Oh, here, we're doing something new. If you submit a question and we use it, we're making video podcasts now of the show. So if we use your question, we're trying to get it through legal to give you something. It takes a very long time, as you know, Anna, to get anything approved.
I got
to be careful what I say because I don't need Mary on me. But we're hoping to have a reward if we use your question in the video podcast, which just got approved last week, which I'm very super excited about. So go to WGNDavid.com, submit your questions there. All the experts are there, and we'll be
David. I got to run, or Mary's gonna get super mad at me. Okay, bye. Bye-bye. Talk to you later.